is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Benham Bentalibou, Senior Fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, to help me interpret the remarks by the new president of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the man once called the Hanging Judge, now called President Raisi, to the United Nations General Assembly in these last days. Quote, "The Islamic Republic considers the useful talks whose ultimate outcome is the lifting of all oppressive sanctions." This is a pre-recorded address to the USGA, the UNGA. "The policy of maximum oppression," that's in quotes, "is still on. We want nothing more than what is rightfully ours. We demand the implementation of international rules. All parties must stay true to the nuclear deal and the UN resolution in practice." I stop there because there are some left out pieces here. Benham, a very good evening to you. All oppressive sanctions and policy of maximum oppression. I believe that is euphemistic language for the sanctions visited upon the Islamic Republic of Iran because of its suggested violations of the Non-Proliferation Treaty it signed 7 decades ago, and also because it has not been diplomatic or accommodating to the UN Nuclear Inspector Agency, the IAEA. What does Mr. Raisi expect to happen in this confrontational language? Is this advancing his case? Good evening to you.
Very good evening to you. And it was a very tough speech to watch and to actually listen to as an American. Out of all the other presidential addresses at the UNGA or for the UNGA, this was the most full frontal assault on the identity and integrity and credibility of the United States of America by an Iranian quote unquote president that I have ever seen, read, or listened to, or watched video of. Ultimately, Raisi is combining the legacies of his former polyester-clad Holocaust denier predecessor, Ahmadinejad, who preferred escalation and bombast, as well as the skill and the cunning and the tact of the Rouhani administration, which smiled and actually knew the ins and outs of the bureaucratic minutiae of the UN. So Raisi is actually presenting an image of coveting the JCPOA, of coveting UN Security Council Resolution 2231 that, in effect, endorses the JCPOA. And in that quest to covet, he is presenting the Islamic Republic of Iran, the world's foremost state sponsor of terrorism, as the defender of international law, as the bastion of credibility, as the source of stability, and as the one who actually wants to restore the rules and norms and cast America as the outsider and as the violator. This should tell you one thing, that if Raisi and his administration, which is the most sanctioned government in the history of the Islamic Republic, 40%, almost 40% of his cabinet is subject to US, UK, EU, UN, or Interpol penalties. If this guy wants that deal so bad, imagine how bad that deal is. Both Biden and Raisi, however, I have to say, intonated something that we saw earlier from this summer, is they had a demand, but they said the other side must move first. So on the nuclear stuff, nothing moves there. But on the messaging stuff, this is where everybody should be all ears. This is the result of Khamenei, the country's supreme leader, his political project, bringing men like these to the fore who will frame their arguments about Iranian hegemony and regional ascendancy, a quest for a weapon, by reaching into our country's domestic debates. In that address, Raisi talked about everything from the botched Afghanistan withdrawal to January 6th and the Capitol insurrection there, as well as, of course, the disgusting likening, I have to say, of the American taxpayer as an oppressed person. The Iranians are watching, waiting, listening, and calibrating their talking points based on how we adjudicate our domestic disputes, both between Republicans and Democrats, as well as between internationalists and isolationists. And they're looking for every possible vector to advance their argument. And Raisi did exactly that at the UNGA this time around.
What they want is concessions. I understand that. The way for concessions is the talks in Vienna, which they suspended in June. And there are contradictory remarks. For example, the Iran's new foreign ministry, a new foreign minister says they want talks back. But do they? What conditions are they laying down either in public or in private for the Vienna talks to begin. The Vienna talks, I say again, they suspended.
Yes, there's been about 6 rounds of indirect diplomacy between the U.S. and the remaining deal adherents in Vienna from April to early to midsummer of this year, of 2021. The new Raisi administration called off those talks. Other members of his government have said it takes a few months for their government to form. This could be genuine, but it also is more likely a stalling tactic, because what we cannot forget is the sense of ascendancy in the political and commanding heights of the Islamic Republic, whether in the judiciary or the parliament, definitely in the Supreme Leader's Office, definitely in the President's Office, definitely in the Expediency Council, definitely in the Supreme National Security Council. These hardened men, whether in suits, Revolutionary Guard uniforms, or in a clerical garb, believe they have all outlived the peak of American pressure, and that America will not be reverting to crushing economic sanctions like it did in the past 2.5 years. And because of that, they all believe that they can afford to bide their time and turn America into the supplicant. And if there's anything we can learn from the past 4 decades of the U.S.-Iran conflict, it's that the Islamic Republic's ideologues love to watch the superpower beg.
Europe. Here's a puzzle. This is The Guardian reporting, so I hesitate. But Russia has hinted, says The Guardian, that it's impatient with Iran's stalling tactics. Is that new, Benham?
It's very interesting that you mentioned Russia, because in the leaked audio tapes from this year, from outgoing minister Zarif, Zarif painted a picture of the Russians being tougher on the Iranian position than former U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry. It's just something to keep in mind. The Russians, as always, will play all sides, and they'll sell Iran out, at least on the nuclear file, for the right price to the Americans. The question is, what kind of horse trading exists currently between the Americans and the Russians over the issue of Iran, over the issue of things like New Start, the environment, gas pipelines? These are all things in flux. And I'm sure Putin knows how well to play the Iran card.
There are other signatories to consider. I've named Russia, France, the UK, China, and Germany. Let's go to the UK, where there's a new foreign minister, Liz Truss, whom I'm told is a worthy rival to the prime minister. So this is a significant player. Liz Truss, the new foreign minister, has said that she wants release of detained British-Iranian dual nationals who are being persecuted by the regime. Is that something that's likely to happen here, given the brittle condition of the talks, or the predicate of the talks?
It's something that certainly should happen. I think Washington should make sure that every country which has a foreign citizen or a dual national held hostage, held against their will in the Islamic Republic of Iran, that they are returned home before any kind of major significant talks are held, talks that would either restore the deal or talks that would provide this regime with some sort of relief. This is the least the Islamic Republic can do to try to signal a good faith effort to engage. And the fact that they haven't done that thus far, the fact that the case of several British Iranian citizens has been detained and delayed and subject to so many Iranian stalling tactics, means that we're about to see a lot more of the same in the short to medium term, which is that the Islamic Republic of Iran will continue to use these foreign citizens and these dual nationals that are held hostage in its territory as pawns to continue their strategic competition against the West. I wish the British foreign minister all the best, and I hope the international community rallies to her side.
Benham Bentaleblou, a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. There is a new president in Iran, Ebrahim Raisi. However, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.